Welcome everybody back to Friar Talk. We're going live after back-to-back Padres series wins. Definitely was rough coming off the five-game losing streak. We have the Arias trade. We have some pitching news. There's a lot of stuff going on for the Padres right now. It was a very—I'm very satisfied with the past week going 4-2 against the Reds, and then after that they go up against the Diamondbacks. It sucked that they didn't get the sweep today, but overall, I mean, I still feel like it's okay. It's a good spot to be. Coming off that Philly series, it was like, oh no, is it going to start unraveling? They come out and they played good baseball. You're going to lose some. I mean, and we're going to talk about this pitching rotation. I see Devin in the chat already talking about Waldron. I'm obviously going to talk about Joe Musgrove as well, because now he's on the IL with a very scary injury. But from the positive standpoint, and I think, Isaac, I think you feel the same way, the Padres lineup feels a lot more complete than it has in quite some time. Probably, and this isn't necessarily translate to wins, but probably since the back half of that, was it the 22 season? Where it was like, okay, you traded for Josh Bell, you got Brandon Drury, and you had like a full lineup. Now their lineup top to bottom is really solid. So I think it's a good spot from the lineup perspective. But let's start with that, Isaac. How you feeling about this lineup right now? Just because they exploded quite a bit. And today was like, okay, they lost. They still scored 4 runs. Jackson Merrill hits a bomb. I'm feeling a lot better about the lineup than I have in a while, dude, in a long time.
Yeah, I thought the lineup looked great. I mean, I know you could say only, but 4 runs is a pretty average outcome. I think they might have even put up more if it wasn't 10-4 by the time they were starting to come back. They came back after the first inning. The top of the second, they put up 3 runs after being down 4. The Diamondbacks put up some more runs. They put up another run. So it was 6-4, I believe it was, or something along those lines. And then Matt Waldron goes out there and gives up another 4 runs. So it's a much different game when you're down by, you know, 4 as opposed to 6, and they already put up 10 runs, and it seems hopeless because your starter's just going out there throwing dick shots down the middle. It's very, as an offense, you feel like, damn, like, how much are we going to have to do today? And then you feel deflated when the other offense is just putting up run after run after run on your starter that, I mean, really shouldn't even really be a starter. You guys could probably tell how I feel about Matt Waldron to this point. And it's not his fault. I will say it's not his fault. He shouldn't have been a starter in the first place. He was never supposed to be a starter. We talked about his role, what his role should be, and we'll get to that later. But I'm happy with the way this offense looks right now. I mean, you look at it from top to bottom. Arias had 4 hits in his first game with the Padres. One of the best plate approaches in baseball. Consistently good at-bats. Loved seeing his at-bats. Fernando, he's going to be fine. I know his OPS isn't what we want it to be. He'll be fine. Jake Cronenworth having a fantastic season so far. Manny's going to be fine. Profar is having a great season. Really, from top to bottom, you look at these guys and you're happy with what you're happy with what you're getting, especially when you have Campy instead of Higgy in the lineup. So, you know, when you look at the lineup in general and you're seeing, hey, like, what are some things that we might need at the trade deadline? Because at first, after we traded for Arias, I thought, well, this might be our deadline acquisition, right? Now you know that the Padres are only paying Arias minimum salary because the Marlins are paying the rest. And you see that the Padres actually freed up money by acquiring Luis Arias. And now you're thinking, well, hey, maybe they go after bullpen arms at the deadline. Maybe they go after a backup catcher at the deadline. Because in my opinion, unless Joe Musgrove isn't going to be fine, you're looking at, you know, a team that is probably going to need a reliever or two at the deadline, probably going to need a backup catcher at the deadline because Higgy's not going to cut it and Campy, I don't think, should be catching every day. I think he should be in the lineup every day, but maybe not catching every day. But now it's even harder to plug him in the lineup every day because one of Arias, Machado, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Tatis, well, they're always going to be DHing. So it's very hard to get him going in there. But so far, I'm very impressed with what the lineup has been doing. I mean, Matt, I don't know if you can pull up some numbers based off, you know, OPS and home runs and all that kind of stuff. But I would bet money that the Padres are probably one of the top 10 offenses in baseball right now. And last year, the story was, hey, you know, the Padres are losing games because, you know, the pitching's doing their job. They got one of the best pitching rotations in baseball, one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. But the team is historically bad with runners in scoring position. Now, this year, you're looking and saying, the Padres put up a decent amount of runs today, but Matt Waldron was pitching and they gave up more. or in, you know, one rare instance, Wandy Peralta came on the mound and blew it. You know, there's things that the Padres offense are doing that the pitching is going to have to pick up. And I mean, they have to pick it up soon, because it's getting really, really annoying to see that the Padres offense is putting in all this work and the pitching is not coming through for them.
Yeah, dude, definitely. And also, I don't know about just like the overall numbers, but just for this past series, 42 hits in three games for the Padres. They were playing really well against the Diamondbacks. 42 hits in three games. Because today you lose the game, they still had 12 hits. So offensively, yeah, it's been great. And I think that's the thing. Like, and also I saw some people talking right now about Arise at being at second base. I mean, he's going to play in the infield every once in a while, but mainly he should DH. And I feel like you feel the same way about that. Profar's been awesome. Profar's, what, like a 950 OPS? I mean, Tatis is back. He kind of got unlucky, honestly. He was killing the baseball. He still has like just under 800 OPS. Manny looks like he's kind of coming back into it. He's almost at 7. He's at 719 right now. I mean, Merrill has fallen off a little bit, but then he had a good series this weekend. So if Bogaerts starts heating up a little bit, you're going to feel a lot better. If Bogaerts and Kim start heating up, those are the two guys that are really like have really struggled up to this point. But I mean, outside of that, dude, I feel like I'm very happy with the lineup. It's not anything to do with the lineup. The bullpen looked really sus at first, and now we're like, dude, man, we thought this bullpen was going to be good. What happened? Now the bullpen it's turned around, and it seems like it's a pretty legit bullpen. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, and this is frustrating because this is the question mark, and this is where you have the loss today. The Padres don't have pitching depth. They don't have pitching depth. This has been every single year with Preller. They've had an injury, and then it's like, okay, we don't have someone to bring up. And yeah, like it sucks that you guys get hurt, but guys, this is Major League Baseball. We the whole topic of discussion for the first couple weeks of the season was there are so many pitching injuries. You got to have better depth. And they don't have enough depth at the top of the farm system like that's ready to go right now. They got some good, you know, they got some good prospects down there, but it's unfortunate that's the case. So that's the concerning thing. And now, yes, Joe Musgrove had struggled up to this point. He had a good last outing, but he had really struggled up to this point. But now he's going to the IL. And you guys saw he's going to the IL with elbow tightness. We know what that is. That seems like, oh, this dude might get Tommy John. Yeah. That's what that feels like. Now, does that always happen? No. Look at Robert Suarez last year. That was what he had. And then I believe it was elbow for him. But it was like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But look at Morahone. Morahone came up. He looked really good. And he kept having that where you'd have to get shut down with elbow tightness. And it has completely derailed his career. Hopefully he still finds it. But the last 3-4 years, like Morahone was, it seemed like he would be a contributor. And it was 2020 when he came in and pitched in the playoffs. Like that was the year when Morahone was like, oh, dude, this guy's going to be awesome next year. He could maybe start one time. But yeah, so we'll see what ends up happening with Joe Musgrove, if it's that serious. But either way, now you're looking at this rotation. Okay, Darvish is back. So you got Darvish, Cease, King. King is very hit or miss. He's a very hit or miss pitcher. Like sometimes he has it and sometimes he just doesn't. But then after that, you have Ranny Vasquez and Matt Waldron. That's what I'm expecting it to be. Matt Waldron's not good. The knuckleball looks cool sometimes. Dude, he allowed 8 hits and 3 walks today in 3 innings. Gave up 7 earned runs. He got destroyed.
To a lineup that really hasn't even been that good, in my opinion.
A bad lineup, yeah.
So you look at it from like I'm going back to Michael King real quick. You're going to look at it from a just on an individual standpoint, right? You're looking at it and you're saying he did great against the Brewers. He did okay. He did pretty good against the Giants. He did all right. Wasn't anything crazy. He did good against the Diamondbacks. And then you start looking at his other starts and you realize, oh my God, he got destroyed by two of the top lineups in baseball, the Dodgers and the Phillies. And like, that's fine. Like, we make the playoffs and we're playing against them. I don't expect them to pitch more than an inning or two. But in games that we're trying to win, we're actually trying to win. You're seeing that he's kind of, he doesn't really have it against the teams that are some of the top lineups in baseball. And I hope I'm wrong, because his next start is against the Dodgers. And we're going to need, guys, against the Dodgers, who's it going to be? King, Waldron, Darvish. that doesn't sound good to me, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I don't really like that. So if Michael King, you know, if he's going to be a consistent guy that we're looking at, we're excited to have on the mound, he's going to have good performances against teams like the Dodgers and the Phillies, so on and so forth. So I wouldn't say I'm nervous about it. I'm excited to see what he does against the Dodgers, but based off his track record so far against those type of good teams, it's a little scary. Now we can go back to Waldron and say, come on. Yes, I'm frustrated with Matt Waldron in general, but I'm frustrated with the front office and with Mike Schilt for thinking this guy was a starter. I don't think he's a starter. I never thought he was a starter. I think his stuff is more like Nabil Chrismat in the way that if you're getting your ass kicked or you need an innings eater, that's when you throw him in there. He's perfect for that. Bro, he throws 90. Like, I'm pretty sure his average fastball right now is a 90.4. Can anyone tell me what type of movement on his fastball he has? Because I don't see it. I think his only pitch that has actually been okay is obviously the knuckleball. But sometimes the knuckleball is hitting the backstop because our catchers can't catch it. So it's like, why are you even throwing it in the first place if it's just going to result in a pass ball? And some guys are even getting a hold of it. So, yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing out of Matt Waldron right now. Again, I don't think he's a starter, and I don't think anyone thinks. I think the Padres know he's not a starter. They have to, right? Because you're looking at him and you're saying this dude just got destroyed by a lineup that really hasn't been that good as of late. What good games has he thrown? One against the Dodgers. He went five innings, allowed, I believe, only one earned, and I can't really remember another one except for maybe his last one against the Rockies. It was good. I see JDS third said Dodgers are a completely different team than the first two times we played them. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. They're probably the hottest team in baseball right now. They just swept the Braves. They're on a roll. So it is really scary going up against the Dodgers right now because they're probably the best team in baseball right now. Actually, I'd probably go with the Phillies, but the Dodgers are next. Who do we trade for a new starter? And that's the thing, you know, I don't know if the Padres are going to be in the market for a new starter. It seems like they should be because Yu Darvish has been placed on the IL once already. Joe Musgrove has been placed on the IL already. Dylan Cease looks fantastic. Michael King's getting roughed up sometimes he's not. Matt Waldron's ass. I don't want to see him ever again as a starter.
To answer this question too, Isaac, who do we trade for a new starter? Well, we had the Cease trade. But we traded this other guy, Juan Soto, for
like 17 starting pitchers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like that's the issue, dude. It's like, okay, we don't really have faith in Brito or Vasquez. I mean, Brito had been doing good up until today, like for like a lot of his outings, and he didn't look that great today. But he looked better than Waldron, that's for sure. Yeah. I would rather have him as the five starter. I'd rather have Vasquez as the five starter. I saw Jackson Wolf. Someone brought him up. He's had some decent outings recently in El Paso. I guess you could bring him up. I don't think he's that great. It's like he's like marginally better than Waldron. But I mean, I don't think Waldron's that good. I think you had brought it up before. Like Waldron can be an innings eater. You know, like when you're in some of these games where it's either like you're up by a lot or you're down by a lot or whatever. Maybe not even if you're up by a lot. But he can have kind of have that Nabil Chrismat role. That makes the most sense. But like, you look at his stuff, dude, it's just, and the other thing is just like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like he just gives up so much contact. Like, yeah, he gets guys on the knuckleball, but that's like the only pitch that generates whiffs. It's like the only one. I feel like, and the fastball does not play. Like the fastball, I think it on Baseball Savant, it shows his average as a 91 mile an hour fastball. That's very low compared to league average. Like, you look at all of his velocities, they're pretty low. Like, he doesn't have a lot of movement on a lot of the pitches. Like, sorry, like, it's just not that great. King's not that good. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, there might be a guy that they can go and trade for, but it's like, dude, they already traded Juan Soto to address this problem.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's the thing with trading a star for guys that you think might be able to fill in spots that honestly probably won't be able to do it very successfully. They might do it at a mediocre level, but that's Juan Soto, bro. That I say it time and time again, and it really irks me because that people don't believe it sometimes. But Juan Soto's not the guy you trade as a salary dump. It just should never happen. It's really a disgrace. But you go, you know, going back to that trade, obviously can't do anything about it now. That's funny. Can't do anything about their trade now. Now we can only look at that trade and say, Matt Waldron's not that good. Why isn't Johnny Brito or Randy Vasquez getting those starts? Because realistically, they should be. Why is Matt Waldron a guy that I've never seen potential in? I have never once thought this guy could be good. I mean, it's nothing against the guy, bro. Like, I understand he's a major league ball player. People are going to say he's good either way, but there's a certain role that he fills, and he's not in that role right now. And that is as an innings eater who can come in when you're getting your ass kicked or when you're up by a lot. I don't know about when you're up by a lot, but preferably when you're getting your ass kicked, he goes in there and he saves the bullpen. Why is that such a bad role to people? It's an incredibly valuable role. Saving the bullpen for the next game when you're getting your ass kicked so no one else has to throw, it's incredibly valuable. So, I mean, Nabil Chrismat filled that role, and he was a fan favorite. I love Nabil Chrismat because getting our asses kicked, kicking someone's ass, he was in there saving the bullpen for the next day. And I think that's something that the Padres should look into for Matt Waldron. But you traded a megastar. I'm not going to say a superstar. You traded a megastar for starting pitching. No reason that they shouldn't be taking the mound. One of them shouldn't be taking the mound every fifth day, because to have Randy Vasquez start in the minors and Johnny Brito start in the bullpen and only Michael King get a starting rotation and get rocked by playoff contenders, that is an embarrassing way to start off this Juan Soto trade. I'm sorry. It's just very embarrassing to see that, you know, each of the guys that you traded for that you were apparently supposed, if you're trading Juan Soto, you're super high on someone. You know, neither of them are getting opportunities, and one of them is hit or miss. I don't want that. I think Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez, realistically, if you want to have both of them up, if you want to have, you know, maybe see them split time, have them each throw three or four innings in one outing and see what goes from there. But realistically, man, I think one of them should be getting the starts over Waldron. It's time to stop thinking like, you know, Waldron's going to eventually be good. He has potential, because I think we've seen a lot more from Vasquez and Brito, with at least topping out at 97, 98 and having movement on their balls other than knuckleball.
Yeah, I think Vasquez will probably get the nod. I mean, Brito's just been kind of up and down for the most part, but also like he hasn't, I don't know. I don't feel like he's like, neither of the guys are that bad, but like, that's what it does come down to, is like, we want to see them over these other dudes. Like, he tried Juan Soto for him. So I feel like you're going to see Vasquez come in and take Musgrove's spot. That's what I think you're expecting to, Isaac. I think what they should do is they should kind of flip roles with Brito and put him back into a starting role. Also, keep in mind, guys, he wasn't that bad of a starter for the Yankees. Like, he started some games for them and he was fine. Maybe for him, it's like, dude, the bullpen's weird. Like, he doesn't like coming out in the bullpen. That could be it as well. But I don't know. And I also like, yeah, I don't think like Brito's the answer, but I do think that they need to change it up. I think they should change it up now, because just having Waldron throw, he almost has a 6 ERA, guys. And like, there's been a couple games where a handful of games were just like, dude, he's not look good. And some of the time, like his outings, like, doesn't look that bad numbers wise. But it's like, dude, they're roping these baseballs. It's like, yeah, they might have not rocked him necessarily, but it's like, but they're still getting a lot of hard contact, and he's getting out of jams, and there's runners on every base. I feel like we see a lot of that. So that's part of it. I do think with this team, I mean, I don't know, Isaac, you feel like it was a pretty damn good week, right? Like, I feel like it was a really good week.
Hell yeah.
And,
I mean,
and it's because of the top arms, and it's because of the lineup is performing.
Yeah, and you know, you would have wanted them to sweep the Diamondbacks, but that's fine, right? Like, they took two of three from the Diamondbacks in a place. Keep in mind, guys, that place has been a place of nightmares for the Padres in recent years. They go in there and it does not look good almost most of the time. That place has been in our nightmares. So it was good to see them go in there. I mean, they handled those first two games, bro. They looked so good. The lineup looked so good. They were hitting with runners in scoring position. Guys were getting on. They looked like they were having fun out there. And I'm sorry, I keep bagging on the guy, but you're not going to have fun when a guy that's throwing 90 is giving up dick shots. I mean, it's not fun, bro. Like, you're in the outfield expecting a ball when really it should be like you should expect the guy to help you out after putting up four runs in two innings or three innings, whatever it was. He looked horrible. I'm sorry. It was just very frustrating seeing that the Padres offense was putting up consistently good at-bats. Even some were resulting in outs that were hit to the warning track. even some of the outs that were to the warning track, I think they look, all these at-bats were pretty good. But when you're out of the game by the fourth inning, it's kind of hard to come back and be hopeful that you're going to come back. At that point, you're just trying to finish the game. But other than that, man, I mean, you lost five in a row and then you took, what, four or five? That's a pretty damn good bounce back. I'll take that. Now you're going into a series against the Cubs, and that's a good team. We already beat them once in a series, and it's going to be a tough series. I know they got Steele on the mound. They got Imanaga on the mound. It's a good team over there, man. It's not going to be – keep in mind, the Padres have one of the toughest schedules to start the season, so – by the end of this tough stretch, you're hoping they're still 500 by that time. But right now, they look like a good team, man. The lineup is great, especially with that addition of Arias. You're starting to see less at-bats from guys like Tyler Wade. Very odd that they sent down Eggy Rosario instead of Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade is lucky he's a lefty, or he wouldn't even be rostered right now. But yeah, it was a good week. I mean, you traded for Luis Arias. You're getting good at-bats from guys that really need it right now. The only guys really struggling are just Xander and Ha-Seon Kim. But even Ha-Seon Kim started to hit the ball a little harder. So you're seeing good things from the lineup from top to bottom. You're just hoping that the rotation can figure it out, man. I mean, yeah, Musgrove went down, but it doesn't really matter. There's always got to be a next man up mentality. And the Padres traded Juan Soto for this reason, for this instance, in case this were to happen. And if these guys look bad, either Brito or Vasquez or even King, it's going to be one hell of a move. It might be the worst move in Preller's tenure.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be crazy to see. I mean, and we were talking about that when Darvish went down, but Darvish came back so quick, you didn't really feel it too much. We're like, all right, all of a sudden we're in this little stretch where the guys you traded for, it's get their numbers are going to get called big time. And it didn't matter like that much, right? But now you're looking at it and you're like, okay, now it's going to matter a lot more, especially depending on what happens to Musgrove. How long is he actually out? He got put on what? Was it 15 day?
15.
So they're going to give him 2 weeks and see how he's doing. All right. So in 2 weeks, we're probably going to know a lot more. But yeah, we don't know what that's going to look like. And right now you talked about that stretch. Let's take a look at it real quick. So right now you got the Cubs. Also, I'm going to those games. I'm excited going to Chicago. So I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, which is sick. I've never been to Wrigley. Cubs are a playoff team. I would expect them to be a playoff team. Next up, you got the Dodgers. We already talked about the Dodgers. Then we got the Rockies. How about we beat the Rockies in a series? All right. That would be a very nice sweep. Then 4-game series against the Braves. Then 3-game series against the Reds. Just saw them. They're a pretty solid team. You know, they're one of the teams that's competing with us, right? It's for the wild card spot. And then you have the Yankees after that. And then it just nosedives. And you have the Marlins, the Royals, the Angels, Diamondbacks, Athletics, Mets. It just falls off. It gets really easy after that. But up until that point, it's a big-time proving ground. So I will say, I am very happy that the lineup is like – it feels a little bit reinvigorated. They're hitting the ball hard. They're playing a lot better because, dude, we might not have the best pitching over this stretch. That's just the reality of the situation. And you look and you go, well, maybe we're going to get into some kind of shootouts, right? But this lineup can do that. Like, they're able to do that. Now you allow, what was it, 8 runs in 2 innings or 3 innings or whatever. That's not really going to happen. But you get into, you know, you're late in the game and it's like 7-8, something like that. Like, you feel like this team can hang around and can really produce a lot of runs, even if their starters don't have the best stuff. So when it is those 4-5 spots, I am happy that that's the case, especially for right now, because like, this is a tough spot. This is a really tough spot. You're going up against the juggernauts of the sport, basically, in the Braves, at least the NL, the Braves and the Dodgers. And then it's like a lot of other playoff teams, borderline playoff teams, and then one little Rocky series sprinkled in there. But I mean, it's going to, a lot of this is going to matter. And it's going to be, if they're sitting around 500 at the end of this, I'm going to feel pretty good. Cause it's like, all right, then you're playing these bad teams. You need to take advantage of that. Like, cause the Potters have had it. They've had a tough schedule. That's the other thing. They've had a very tough schedule up to this point. Also, yeah, here we go. Like, and subscribe, of course.
Please.
Thank y'all. But yeah, dude, who else are we thinking? I mean, I also pulled this up cause I wanted to see what his Baseball Savant looked like. I want to see what Brito's was looking like. Cause I feel like he hasn't looked that good.
It's all right.
Baseball Savant agrees with me.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not too crazy. I mean, it's better than Waldron's if you ask me, but except for maybe the definitely.
That's brutal, dude.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's the thing, man. It's like, you know, you traded a megastar for this, and in instances like this where a starter goes down or where you need more starters, you're not very excited to see Johnny Brito or Randy Vasquez on the mound. It's more like we got these guys, they're better than Waldron, but it's not like they're 10 times better than Waldron and they should for sure have a spot, because really they haven't earned it. They haven't looked that great. Randy Vasquez didn't. I did not think he looked good against the Rockies. I thought he looked pretty bad. But
he was also,
I mean, that's in Colorado
control, and it's in Colorado. It's like control, that's the worst place. Colorado. His first outing, he was pretty good though.
It was good, yeah, it wasn't bad. And I thought for the most part, Brito's looked pretty good, except for this past outing and a couple of his first two, three outings. But he's looked pretty good too. Maybe being in a starter role would be better for him. I don't know, but like looking at the rest of the lineup and the rest of the rotation. Who's another guy we can talk about? What I was gonna say too is for this next six game stretch this upcoming week, where you got the Cubs day off, Dodgers, you're hoping to go 3-3. The Cubs are hot, the Dodgers are hot. Some guys in the Dodgers are raking right now. Muncy hit three home runs today. Bajes he's been pretty damn good to start his career. Otani's been hot. All these guys are doing really good right now. And you're facing, I believe, against the Dodgers, you're facing Glasnow, Yamamoto, and I don't know who else, but you're facing their top three, and we're only throwing one of our top guys. So you're really hoping that you can just win one of these series, and it's fine if you lose the other series. You're going 3-3 against two of the top teams in the NL, and you're feeling pretty good. Now it doesn't feel great to say that, just because you want to win both series, but you're down a starter, another starter sucks, another starter's up and down. I mean, I didn't want to say it. I'm pretty sure we were talking about it after the Soto trade. They traded for a lot of starters, and we wouldn't be surprised if they were still in the market for a starter come trade deadline time. And we're looking at the needs right now. We're saying, well, the lineup looks pretty complete. The bullpen seems like it'll be okay. Just had a starter go down. A starter went down earlier in the year. Another guy you traded for is hit or miss. Two other guys you traded for, you can't even rely on to beat Matt Waldron. What do we got here, right? Now you're looking and you're saying, damn, looks like we might need more starters. After you just traded a megastar for starters, you look stupid. Sorry, I'm always going to hold this Juan Soto trade over AJ Preller said. I hate it. I despise it, because Juan Soto, he's on track. I'm pretty sure he's already at a 2 WAR. That's on pace for like an 8 WAR this year. He looks ridiculous. It's something.
Dude, it's going to be brutal in the late January series.
I don't even think the guys we got have accumulated. I don't even think the guys we've got have accumulated half a WAR.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they have.
King probably has okay, but it's also harder to accumulate WAR as a pitcher.
As a pitcher, yeah, for sure.
He's like, you know, just whatever, backup catcher. What about, we were talking about who should we kind of talk about? Two guys, two familiar faces to everyone, not new players on this team like Cease or Arias or these guys that are also very good players. But Jake Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar.
Oof.
Dude, what a start, bro. Like, obviously from Profar's been amazing. But I think if Profar wasn't playing out of his mind as much, the hype on Jake would be amazing. Because like, dude, he's played. He looks like he's a couple. He dialed the clock a couple years back because it was looking like he was hitting a decline for a while, and all of a sudden, you know, say he puts up over 800 OPS this year. Right now he's sitting at 843. You're looking at it and you're going, dude, if this dude has an 800 OPS, he's easily worth that contract. So yep. That's something that I think is super important. And also, we talked about it as much. And I wonder what they're going to do with this lineup. So like today's lineup, right? It was Arias, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Profar, Bogarts, Merrill, Kim, Higgy. You'd probably put Kim at nine if it's not Higgy, because Kim is better bat.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that 1-4, I think should just stay exactly the same. Right? That should just stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. And I mean, because like I think some people might be frustrated that Ha-Seong Kim's batting nine, but second leadoff, I really like him there. He's a guy that's gonna get on. He's a guy that has upside to be a leadoff in general. So I really like him at nine. I think he fits perfect there. It's nothing against him. I mean, but I think he's very valuable there. You look at, again, you said top four, they probably shouldn't change. Arias is one of the best contact hitters in baseball. He's one of the best guys at getting on base, consistently puts up great at-bats. Tatis, I don't really have to go too in-depth about Fernando. Jake Cronenworth, bro, it's not even a fluke either. If you put, I don't know if you want to pull up his Baseball Savant, last time I checked, that shit looked good. He actually, like, it's not a fluke. He looks really good. He's one of the best. He might be not the best, but he's probably one of the top three bats in the lineup right now. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Jake Cronenworth, man. He's putting the ball in the air more. He's going gap to gap again. I mean, he just looks like it. Oh my God. Dude,
look at that, bro. That looks like Tatis right there.
Exactly, bro. He looks like one of the best hitters in baseball right now. He looks like a damn good first baseman. Even his outs above average, it's in the red right now. He looks like one of the best first basemen in baseball. So, yeah, I'm very happy with what we're seeing out of Jake Cronenworth right now. Like you said, man, if Jerickson Profar hadn't been doing what he's doing right now, the hype would be surrounding Jake Cronenworth. So very happy with the results we've been getting out of him, especially because, as you guys know, Jake Cronenworth is probably one of our favorite players. We have titled him as the God. So we love some Jake Cronenworth.
It was rough last year.
Oh my God. I didn't even want to call him that, dude. I was like, oh, that was horrible. And then you look at Manny, right? I don't know what his stats are, like from top to bottom, but let me check his last seven games. Give me one moment.
He's hitting way better. He's hitting
so much better, dude. I think he looks so much better at the plate right now. I mean, he's back on defense. Really, that's all you can really ask for, right? Like, this is a guy that is a gold glover, and I'm super happy to have him back at third. So I'm not really concerned about Manny at the plate. I think he's going to be fine. Over his last seven games, let me see. Over his last seven games, he has 778 OPS. Nothing crazy, but higher than what he has on the season so far. The good thing with Manny is that you're seeing a lot more power out of him than you were the first couple of months, or the first month, or first 3 weeks, whatever you want to say about it. I think he looks a lot better at the plate, so I'm happy with Manny. Profar, don't really got to go too much into it. He looks like a stud.
Let's see.
There could be, and like Matt and I talked about this yesterday, you know, there's been a lot of crap talking about Xander Bogaerts, and very much warranted. It's come from us, yeah, too.
We didn't bring it up today because it's like, what's the point?
Exactly.
We've talked about it so much. Like, we talked about Matt Waldron today because we haven't really brought it up too much.
Exactly.
You know, like,
we know, right? Like, we know he doesn't look that good. He's a singles merchant. He's, oh my God. Gorgeous.
See, so this is now to say this. Say that Juan Soto was a guaranteed guy to walk. Right, the only way this is trade's a win, and it's not a win, but it's not as much of a loss. Is this dude right here, Mr. Irrelevant right here? If he keeps up this 960 OPS. Was it you that I was talking to that I was like, I don't know if it was you or if it was someone else. I was like, why are we worried? This guy is a former number one prospect.
Just get going. It's just finally he's coming around. I know it's been a minute, but it's just he needed time. But who was that? Oh, going back to Xander. We know, bro.
I'm sorry, that was crazy. You see that?
Oh yeah.
Look at this.
That's a fat difference.
What?
That is pretty wild. And even then, right, when he came back to San Diego last year, he actually looked pretty damn good.
Dude, that's it's just wild.
It's such a fat difference. Right there. Going back to Xander, right? Last year he ended off the season hot. This year he's not starting off very hot. And we talked about this, like, you know, Matt said, we talk about him all the time. We know, like, singles merchant, OPS under 600, mid glove, slow as shit. It's just not something you want on the field. However, I think Matt and I both agree. We talked about it yesterday. I think there's going to be a time he's going to get hot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a matter of time. I don't think it's anytime soon. But there's going to be a time in the season where he gets hot and he's going to be competing for that fifth spot in the lineup. And we'll be happy for it. Like, right now I hate the guy, but we don't hate the guy too much. It's just,
I don't like him.
Yeah, I'll
like be honest. And this is the thing. It's like, dude, it's not like his fault. It's just like the contract. We know this. That's sports. Like, when you get paid like that, especially somewhere else, like, it's different if, like Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, right? They were good, and they got paid, and they weren't really – I mean, Bellinger's kind of bounced back a little bit, but, like, they didn't, like, live up to what they were signed for or whatever, right? But they did it at the same place that they stayed for a while. I know Cody eventually left, but he stayed in L.A. for a long time, like, through all the struggles and everything. It wasn't – you know what I mean? It wasn't that different. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's – yeah. But
yeah, and the thing with Xander, bro, is like, I'm not frustrated because of his defense or anything. It's just, you know what I'm really frustrated about is that when he gets a hit, it's a fucking single. And that's nothing against singles, bro. Like, I don't despise singles. I just despise it when it's every single time. Like, dude, there's a runner on first. Usually it's Fernando, maybe it's Jake. Two guys that can easily go from first to home on a double. Maybe every once in a while they get thrown out, but most of the time they'll probably make it. Bro, just one time, bring them in from first. I feel like I'm not asking for a lot. You're getting paid $25 million to not move them from first to second. You're getting paid that much for move them from first to home or from second to home. It's not a lot to ask for from a guy that has hit for over an 800 OPS multiple times in Boston. Did it last year. I mean, granted, the middle portion of that was very bad. But like, bro, if you're going to be hitting, if like people were saying, oh, I think he's frustrated because he's not playing shortstop. Oh, I think he's frustrated because he's not at the top of the lineup. Bro, look at your numbers. Like, be realistic with yourself. You're not at the top of the lineup because your OPS is under 600. You are worse than Trent Grisham was last year. Worse. Like, that's not average-wise. OPS-wise, slugging-wise, whatever you want to call it, he's worse. And dare I say, I'm going off OPS. This is damn near Austin Nola. I don't want to say it.
You gotta assume he's hurt or something, right?
Right, yeah, because, I mean, like,
it's that bad. It's, like, so bad.
Like, if this wasn't if he wasn't Xander Bogaerts, the guy that's a multiple time All-Star, 6 WAR player at one point, we would be talking about him in a much like, dude, this guy freaking stinks. Like,
if he wasn't Xander Bogaerts and we were talking about it right now, you go, why did they DFA Agee when they couldn't have DFA'd this guy?
Exactly. If this guy wasn't, like, named
just Xander numbers Bogaerts, wise,
exactly.
Obviously, and obviously baseball, that you go up and down and stuff, but like, that is just the reality of the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So I see another thing here. I see JDS brought this up about Tatis. They're saying he's not the same player he was since 2021. And I've seen other people saying this.
Me too.
You guys, anyone saying that, you guys need to go and look up all of Tatis. I'll do it right now, actually, because I keep pulling up all these savants, dude. Today we're popping off on the baseball savant pages. But Let's look this up because it's actually insane.
Ew, that Bogarts one's gross.
Yeah, that one's nasty. Okay, so here's Tatis.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, this is ideal. All right, so let's go 2021.
Damn near the same thing.
He's been better in whiff and K's. Like, yeah, 108, 98, 99, 98. All right, so it's like barely down.
Mm-hmm.
The average exit velocity is down a little bit in the barrel, but that actually like kind of makes sense. He's not barreling the baseball as much, and therefore his average exit velocity is down the same amount that he's not barreling the baseball. But all this other stuff is basically the same, you know, like. And also, what are we talking about? Average exit velocity 92, right? 93.9, barreling it more. So it's like it's basically the same thing. Also, let's see, 2020.
He's just legitimately one of the unluckiest players at the plate right now.
And now he was hitting last week too. Like, let's see, let's pull his games up real quick. Like, three hits, one hit, two hit. Like this last series he had his hits, yeah.
That last game against the Phillies alone, he had two hits. Balls. Yeah, that last game against the Phillies alone, he had two balls die at the warning track.
Yeah, it's just like it's gonna be fine. I'm not really worried at all. Like last year, I didn't think he like. Let's see, last year I didn't think. Yeah, look, he didn't really look. He's down like a decent amount. Not that bad, but it's more of this. Look at this. Like that was pretty rough.
Uh-huh.
But like that's he's better. It's better than what last year too.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I'm not really concerned at all. I've seen people talking about that, and the only reason is because it's all no one really cares about this stuff as much. But this is actually like what's happening on the field. Everyone's looking at this number right here. You know, everyone's looking at how many home runs, how much OPS you got. But I think it's gonna be fine. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think anything's gonna change. I've seen because I don't think I was just JDS talking about it. I've seen other people talking about that too.
Me too. Like, yeah.
But I don't know. That's my thought on that. I mean, we'll see. I guess like if it's like, okay, well, it's been like 2-3 years and that's the case, but it's like, okay, he came back after not playing for a year. And it's like, he looked pretty damn good last year, not like up to his standard. But then this year it's like, he's looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's also so damn clutch too. That's the other thing. It's like, it just seems normal.
And I mean, keep in mind, the ball doesn't fly for shit in April. And at Petco, the ball literally dies so hard. He's hit a couple balls to the warning track, and I mean, eventually those are going to turn into home runs, man. I think he's going to be perfectly fine. Even if he's not doing it at the plate, he's going to be doing it on the field. So I don't really think there's going to be anything to worry about with Nando. I mean, he just made a ridiculous play where Ketel Marte was rounding first and he threw him out at first. I personally I don't think I've ever seen that. That was beautiful. It was something that special players do. Special players in the outfield, platinum glove players do. So that's one of the best players in baseball. I don't expect him to not end up being in one of the top three. I mean, I expect him to finish top five in MVP voting. I thought he was going to win MVP. I still think he can win MVP for sure. But Iron Swan, that's a good point, man. I don't know, though. The Phillies are just a different breed, bro. The Phillies, I think they're first in the NL right now. They're crazy. They're crazy.
It's ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm happy with what the Padres are doing up to this point. They had a tough 5-game stretch. But other than that, they look fine. I think they're a contending team. I wouldn't say it goes as far as saying like this team's going to go to the World Series. But I think as long as Musgrove, Darvish, and Cease are healthy, and maybe they acquire one more starter, I don't think they have to, but if they wanted to, this is a team that can make a push for sure.
Yeah, and with Musgrove too, hopefully it's like, okay, dude, it's not as serious as we're all like, oh no, not the worst news ever for a pitcher is when you see elbow tightness. It's like, ah, but hopefully it's something where it's like, all right, cleaned up 15 days, and he actually needed that, and then he comes back and he looks a little bit more like Joe Musgrove. Because also a lot of the stuff, a lot of people were like talking about like his like velocities and stuff. They were all normal. It was just like he wasn't locating very well. That's where his struggles were mostly coming from. Hanging stuff over the plate, like that was a lot of where he was struggling at. So hopefully he kind of cleans it up and stuff, and it's it's more of a beneficial thing than like a, like, oh, this is a really bad injury or whatever. But also another thing with the power, I mean, right now, Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper also have 7 home runs. So, and Pete Alonso has 8 for another power hitter. Like, it, you know, it's not that. It's not
Acuña struggling right now. There's quite a few guys that are struggling right now, man. It's just, you're trying to get back into the swing of things, and it's just, I mean, Fernando's going to be fine.
Also, dude, I think this is the final guy I want to bring up, but CJ Abrams is fucking
awesome. Oh my God.
He's awesome. He has 7 bombs. I saw his name. I was like, oh shoot. Dude, he looks like a sweet player. He's pretty horrific defensively, but most young shortstops are. He's also remember, like 21 years old.
For those of you who've been around for a while, I don't know if you remember that video we made way back when we were talking about the floor of CJ Abrams. I think he's probably going to surpass that floor pretty easily. It was Chris Taylor.
That's what you said, right?
Yep, that's what I said.
You were ridiculed for it.
I was ridiculed hard for it.
Yeah, he's looking a little better than Chris Taylor, especially Chris Taylor, the today's Chris Taylor. Isn't Chris Taylor like the worst player right now in all of baseball? Sucks.
Keep in mind, dude, he tops out like at a 3 war.
How bad is he? Oh my God. He has 54 at-bats and he has 4 hits right now.
What a hard floor.
Holy, dude, look at this. Okay, one more savant, all right? Holy crap. Look how this is maybe the worst I've ever seen. Look at that.
What a hard floor. Such a hard floor, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He's just a stud.
Yeah. You got anything else?
No, man. I mean, looking forward to this next week. It is a tough road because the Padres are facing some really good pitching competition. It's fun.
It's a good thing, you know?
We're going to see what the Padres are made of, right? You're hoping they go 3-3. They're facing Steele, Imanaga, Glasnow, maybe Yamamoto. A lot of really good arms. So if they can come out of this 3-3, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Padres, typical Padres fans wanting mediocrity. I do not give a damn. That's a pretty damn good stretch if you go 3-3.
And also, that's the sport of baseball. The bigger thing that we lose our minds over is when you split series against the Rockies. That's the one that is like, dude, why? Why? Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good night. We'll talk to y'all soon. See ya. Peace.